question on the two aspects of sound.
Yes.
I was wondering how sound, number one, can be used for integration of the alignment of the chakras, and also which particular chakra you should concentrate on to let forth sound from the spirit itself.
Well, do re mi fa sol la ti do. Those are the eight centers. And you have eight centers in your body. Seven are obvious and one is not. Last night we chanted, calling those centers by their anatomical names. Coccyx, sacral, lumbar, thoracic, cervical, medulla, Christ, and master. Do re mi fa sol la ti do. You can make all kind of games with it, but in the end, the result is simply that those areas transport their mineral content from the storage area to the demand area on time. It's called health. He, all there is, HE-AL. All life. God breathes into you. You don't breathe in. And if you were to breathe into an object, show me how would you do it. You have to blow it out, right? And if the object accepts it, fine. If not, you throw it away. Start all over again. The facts are there. We are very pragmatic. And for that reason, Mr. Huxley wrote his book, The Perennial Philosophy, trying to make us understand pragmatism in nature. But until we can live with a pragmatic system of nature, we don't know what we're doing. So we will go through all kinds of games in our head to align organs, when in actuality, the human spine is a flute. You ever play a flute? Which one of the holes you don't block up?
You need to blow into.
Thank you. So then you say the song, Hare Krishna, come blow through this human flute and give me God realization. Because Krishna was supposed to be playing a flute, right? Christ's process resonates within the allocated anatomical areas within the musical scale for only one thing: a balanced transportation between the storage of elements in the organ of storage to the organ of demand on time, all the time. And when that occurs, you get up and jump and do your thing. Otherwise, you're lying down and they'll bury you after. If you give us illustration, if all of us are lying down dead in this room and God walks in and says, hi folks, what you want? Some miracles, some possessions, or your breath back? What would you take? What do you take?
Your breath.
You want your breath back so you can have health to run after possessions or perform miracles, right? So you see Hare Krishna and all these ideas, is where you start to look into it, and not just secreting it, it's looking into what the reality is about. There were ways of which man had to come back to a wholesome life. And the wholesome life is accepting the cellular structure as the manifested principle. So the point is, when you line up the body, your biblical writings will say, sing and dance the praises of the Lord. You couldn't get healthier any quicker than singing, because you'll get rid of all your frustrations that are going to block up the coccyx, your sacral or your lumbar, your thoracic and your cervical, and all the other parts of your anatomy, because you're forced to open your mouth and jump around. Today they call it aerobics. Centuries ago they used to call it Shivadura. or they might have called it whirling dervish breakdance. End result is one healthy human being, loving and sometimes very compassionate. That's all you're trying to get out of it. So don't, it's not selling it short. In fact, is that we don't recognize what we're doing with it. And when we do recognize what we're doing it, the doors open for the next breakthrough. Our breakthrough in the next 15 years is not this planet. It's all that real estate hanging over your head. It may be occupied or it may be empty. If it's occupied, we'll have two fears. They may take away ours, or we may go on theirs and try to claim it. If it's not occupied, we'll be stupid to stay here to knock off each other with bombs when it's lying out there for the asking. Go forth, multiply, and have dominion over the universe. But if ever you're in doubt and think ET is a figment of your imagination, look a sperm under the microscope and you really will know what you look like. You have all the ETs right there.
What is the difference between love and compassion?
I love you.
Love you too.
Good. But if I don't hurt you, how do I know you can love me more? Think of that. I love you. That automatically puts a plateau of measurement of your love. But if I don't hurt you, how would you express more love? If I hurt you, you may stop your love, or you may extend your love. That's the option now. And everything comes to pass, but not to stay. So compassion is letting that hurt pass or remain. If it remains, you're going to be passionate and destructive. And if you let it come to pass and not remain in you, then I may get a little more love of a different quality coming back to me. Intense, less intense, or just plain blah. But any person who has a child that breaks their finest china, are they going to smash their head in with it? Or are they going to be compassionate to the child? Remember, We are cosmic children in this big cosmic house. We sure mucking it up for Daddy. Costing him a fortune after he done throw all these atom bombs all over the place. Because I don't know how he's gonna clean it up with Mrs. God running the show. But who's gonna offer the compassion? The creative life force have to give us more. So think of it. A checking account is love. A savings account is compassion. You go down the road with four tires. Why you carry the spare tire for?
Insurance.
Good, that's compassion too. See? Any backup system to the functional system in demand as a reserve process is indication that you are thinking and acting out the creative principles. You can't do a single thing out here in your ego and claim it as your invention, which is not already operating inside from the intuitive level and connected nature. You wake up with your eyes open and you get ideas to function after you make mistakes. You don't get ideas to function before you make mistakes, because necessity is the mother of no connection, or invention, or compassion. Good. Then you have to have a necessity. In order to have a necessity, you must have a mistake. See? And therefore, you are forced to do what? Make your mistakes in order to have correction and compassion. So, evolution is good. But without revolution, there is no evolution. Right? Thanks for the revolution. 209 years of independence on one side of the blackboard. And on the other side of the blackboard, 209 years of confinement. That's what we have all around us. One man's view, one man's version, one way of looking at it. But we are always revolving. Or we're getting involved and revolving. We can't stop. Now, the wheel of the car was evolved from a circle. But if it don't revolve and move, what good is the wheel of the car? Yet, you take your life in your hands with those four inflated rubber balls. And you run into a nail and you get a flat tire. You'll swear all day for being stupid, but you're for leaving your spare tire home. Then next time you carry your spare tire, or you may not leave yourself vulnerable. So from your mistakes, you make preparation to have reserve for your lifestyle. Now, here's another process. If you were wearing a beautiful shirt and the buttons on the shirt are rare, and one of the buttons got broken, and you went back to the store where you bought the shirt, and the manager says, yes, we have buttons over there, but I don't know if we have this particular one that you're looking for. Go look on the shelf. And when you go on the shelf, you see there are two buttons on the shelf. Will you buy one or will you buy two? Since there ain't going to be any more but those two on the shelf.
Two.
You can buy two, not one.
Unless you want to leave one to somebody else.
then that's the problem. Because you see, you don't know if by the time you put on the one that you buy, another one will break. You see how the mind works? So if that works like that, then think of the creative mind that sets it up. But he sets it up this way: 6 days shalt thou labor, 1 day shalt thou rest. Checking account is 6 days, savings account is 1 day. There is a greater reserve of the cosmic energy than what you see projected out here. Our universe, as we see it in the optic range, there is a greater reserve within the non-optic range. It wouldn't make any sense or practicality if it was not set up like that. And we could never think of applying it or setting up a process to live if it was not so. That's why it's all the teachers of truth who realize it, they say, as above, so below, meaning whatever we can see in an optic range and apply, which is the below range of optics, the same is occurring in the invisible range and more. Yes, no, maybe. Realization in the yes state is laid out in the environmental astrological processes of time lapse. Because in a manifested world within the optical range, everything is controlled by time. Time is the master. In the Eastern philosophy, it is referred to as Kal, the negative. To the uninformed, word negative means bad. To the uninformed, negative means something derogatory, breaking down. To the well-informed, negative is the thing you have in a camera until you expose it to light. So the exposure is time lapse that leaves an impression on the film. Then you have to develop it into what? But today we have a Polaroid. That's where the no comes in now. Yes, it's all right that we are run by time, it's laid out, but no, something overrides time. It's not choice. It's cooperation. Not my will, but thy will be done. This is a different process altogether. In cooperation, you are a matrix of plus and minus and neutral, all locked up. You have to interrelate on time, all the time. But you give the integrating principle controlled by what you sit with. That's the programming. You give the integrating equipment controlled by programming. If you don't program the equipment, it can't work. So buy a brand new computer, plug it into the wall, don't program it. Will it give you an answer? But it's well integrated, right? All the parts must work on time. But what will override until you program it? And if you program it, and let's say you punch A, and when you want an answer, B comes back, and you didn't punch in B, then something's wrong with the computer. You'll take it back to the owner and say, hey man, what kind of computer is this? So for that reason, when you punch A, you get A back. You punch B, you get B back. We are the same, we are a cellular computer, totally integrated already, working on time. Therefore, what we say to our cells will come back. It's called cause and effect. Eastern people call it karma. What you sow, you reap is another way of saying it. Old farmer's way of talking. In modern technology, programming or substatement. Word override time. The actual programming overrides the time. That's the no state. Then comes the maybe. We live in a universe that was triggered off by sonics to appear as optics, to slow down into a gaseous stage, then into temperature, then into fluid or liquid, and then into crystalline or solid state. Then, by the same optics, the fluid state experience a condition called photosynthesis. And by the gaseous state within the photosynthesis of the crystalline nature came vegetation. Vegetation grew up. Then, out of vegetation came tissue, marine life. Then marine life came mammal, and we are mammal. Everything outside is in quantity except human mammal. There's less of human beings and more of the environment. But over the many centuries, the human beings are catching up with the environment. Population now over 2 billion, right? Never in the history of man we had that much population on planet Earth. We've come a long way. Yet, we don't know how to look inside of ourselves to regulate it. Yet we're constantly living by the whims and the pressures of the environment on the cellular structure to survive in it. Then what becomes important? To survive in the environment by the structure of the environment, or by the time process that regulates the structure, or the command that overrides the time process? Which one of the three would we adhere to? Or all three in their right perspective? that makes more sense. Your environment is here, and there is a time process that must be recognized, and there is a command that must be adhered to. Then we have what is called a rounded out existence. Then, from that standpoint, realize people only have one thing to offer us. How to recognize when to act. So they give us a very simple code. No matter what happens around us, no matter when it happens around us, and why it's happening around us, or what is happening around us, only adhere to one rule. Rule number one, don't panic. Rule number two, don't panic. Rule number three, don't panic. Then by virtue of that, logic will take over. Then logic will regulate chemistry or environment. Logic will integrate with timing, and logic will give command. Then comes volition, if you're going to live it or not. Because after all these things are set up, you got one last test, volition. Now, volition is normally referred to as willpower, right? No, two words, willpower. Power, we know, that's power. Force, right? Do we know what will is? Some people call it the last will and testament or something. I will, but will is desire. Without the power. And power is power without the desire. So these two jokers got to get together now for the first time and become practical. Desire plus power equals willpower. And once we have a desire, and we exercise power behind the desire, we will get a result. Now the wise man knows desire and willpower is valid. But the attachment to the desire and the abuse of the power is not valid. Therefore, early men wrote in their writings, attachment is the cause of the suffering. They never said desire and power was the cause of the suffering. But attachment is the cause. Because when you go to sleep tonight, you desire to sleep. And you lie down in your bed. But I show you how you attach. You tell yourself you gotta wake up tomorrow to do something. Right? That's the cause of the suffering. So all night you don't sleep. And that's what is the problem in the situation. The attachment to the desire. So anybody suffer from insomnia, get rid of the attachment and enjoy the desire sleep. It's very healthy to desire, but not healthy to be attached. Now, I was very attached years ago until a man by the name of Yogananda broke me from attachment and taught me that desire was greater than attachment. Because attachment satisfies security. And desire stimulates curiosity, not necessary security. So I live with the illusion that to be secure, you must have security. So I then went around with the idea, security is the only security there is. Until he broke me from that and taught me insecurity. Now, insecurity is a hell of a way to live. It's like sitting on a needle point all day, giving yourself acupuncture. But insecurity is the only security. And that may sound very strange. Because if you can master insecurity and make it your only security, you don't panic. But if you rely on security as your only security, you're going to panic. As soon as that security is threatened. But if you rely on insecurity as the only security, not threatens insecurity, so there's no panic. One day, Yogananda came out of a beautiful Cadillac, and there was a group of people standing, and there was a man from England who saw the Cadillac and Yogananda. He mentally said to himself, if this man is a swami, why is he driving in such a beautiful vehicle? And Yogananda looked around and then made the remark, Mr. Johnson. Now, they weren't even introduced, so how does he know his name? That's freak out the guy. I didn't ask for this Cadillac. In fact, it's a very poor expression of man's creativity. Looking forward to a better model next year. Bye-bye. Then he taught me how to get rid of attachment and enjoy desire. Always looking forward for a better model. And why not? Didn't Brother Jesus say, and greater things shall you do? Greater things. Why limit yourself? Because life is the enjoyment, and you can't take it. You when you're sound asleep or when you're dead. Where are you going to use it? Only in the waking state. So, question comes up. You only can eat one food at a time in your plate. If you eat in three meals, you only eat each meal, each time you put it there. So the option is, you know, eat to live or eat to die. So if you eat to live, you stay healthy. If you eat to die, you're going to get sick. And then you begin to regulate all your conditions around you, which is more important to you. Staying alive to appreciate the God in you, or eating to die to look for the God outside of you. Now when you get disappointed, then that's the problem. Because years ago, growing up, they used to tell me, the gates of heaven are pearly gates. Have you ever heard that statement? Good. I went there, you know, and I fell off a building years ago in 1955, broke up the body. And then I said, I want to see pearly gates. I saw Yogananda, Jesus, not. Where's the pearly gates? Come on, son. And I saw the pearly gates. Beautiful pearly gates. Can't begin to describe the size of the pearls. But, you know, jokers like me, you're curious like anything, you want to push through to see what's on the other side of the gate. So when you push with your mind and the gate open, on the other side of the gate, I saw stacks and stacks of oyster shells waiting to be cleaned up. That, we can keep heaven. Then I said, well, what's so great about this place? Then all the beings are looking, and they're not commenting, they're just looking at it. Well, then do I go to hell? Since I can't go into heaven, it's all full of empty oyster shells. You can't even walk through the place. Well, they flash, hell. Burning gates, fiery, you can't even make your way through it. But there always got to be some joke in the crowd who will make some attempt to see on the other side. So I threw myself through with my mind to go through. And I got through the fire, look at the other side. Nice, neat stacks of wood waiting to be put in the fire. So I said, that's the job I got here in hell, to stack the fire, keep it going. And the other side, I got clean up. Oh, I said, sure, you can have the hell. Give me back my body. Then, the option of a broken body or going a womb and start all over with a memory bank. That's the next option you have. So many of us don't want to take the journey back into a broken body because it's too agonizing. They'd like to phase into the new body. But then I ask myself the question, in a new body, I have to start over from scratch. And I know how difficult it is to develop a memory. That broken body, I'm familiar with it. It took me a long time to work with it, but at least I know it and I love it. Give me my broken body. And when I said that, I saw, like a big kite with a long tail. And on the kite was my face in the body. And on the long tail, the many faces. Would be associated with. I don't meet people that I don't have anything with. And those who know me over the years know I don't go looking for them. Yet in a strange way we meet. Compassion is the experience of meeting. When we do meet, because it has come to pass, a relationship of love that doesn't have any strings attached, other than to be in the presence of and appreciate each other. This type of compassion is allowing you to stand on your own 2 feet and be yourself and not deprive you of the right of making mistakes or lead you down any garden road to tell you you're going home to some heaven up in the sky. But to let you realize that the heaven and the hell is yourself. Whatever you label reality to be by the words, the time will fit those words for the physical occurrence to be an experience. That's why I said yes, no, maybe. You have to program your brain. And then you have to wait the time out when the experience comes, which is the choice or the volition. For that reason, I didn't learn anything new, and I don't have anything new to offer you than what you've already heard or read, thought, word, deed. Sounds familiar now? The thought is there. As a man thinketh in his heart, that is what he is, or woman. And the spoken word is what he has to live. So out in the West they say, a man is only as good as his what?
Word.
Good. But greater than thought and word is the action. Because I can't take a bath in a blueprint toilet no matter how I try. Or a blueprint bathtub. Oh, you see why action
speaks louder than
words. Good. And for that reason, I'm forced to be practical, and that's what realization is. In living in the world, I'm not outside of it, in the world of manifestation, I have to integrate my word, my experience, and the timing. In the world of the optics, there's no such thing. In the world of the optics, all the great saints, and even the lesser ones, there's no such thing as a bad saint or sinner, and maybe a little lesser one. They all crave one thing. The one thing that we human beings have in the world of manifestation. And if you read the autobiography of a yogi, I'll refresh your mind of the one thing that they crave. Yukteswar appeared to Yogananda. And Yogananda recognized Yukteswar after Yogananda buried him. And when Yukteswar appeared to Yogananda, he refused to greet him as an ordinary student. He rushed up and hugged him. Now, if Yukteswar is a figment of Yogananda's mind, Yukteswar should make no complaint if being hugged by the student, right? But Yukteswar says, please, you squeeze it too hard. So they like to be touched. And they want to be touched. Like my friend. Happy birthday. They want to be touched. They want to know. And touch is the bridge. So, God in the flesh or the living, the bridge is touch. More than anything else, touch. Now, touch is very, very indicative, because if you spell the word, it hurts you. If you put a hyphen between the T and the O. See? As long as you think you're going to ouch. And if you quit your thinking, you'll have beautiful touch. Very passionate. So you see, wonderful word like touch could be painful and yet be very enjoyed. But realize people in the body have to touch. The ones that went out of the body created touch. Now, Brother Jesus, when he came in the room after he came back from the grave and he met Thomas, what did he tell him? Come smell or come touch? Right? Actual touch. And even if you believe in Dracula, he likes the touch. So, lesser saints, you know. No matter how we look at it, touch overrides it all. So we're pushed back into looking at ourselves in the body, not to be afraid to live in the world. It is to be in this world, but not caught up in the world of it, W-H-I-R-L. Don't get caught up in the attachment to it. Most people think life has dealt them some bad deals. But life doesn't deal nobody any bad deals. Because the horoscope, or the scope of the horror, is 50-50. Meaning, half of it is the obstacles you have to jump over. And half of it is a reward you get when you jump over the obstacle. That's called break even. Nobody's left out. That's why pick up your own cross and follow me. You can't pick up my cross. But in the end, whatever the outcome is, it's half and half. So you don't have a bad life or a good life. You have a process life. A process of going through to discover your nature. And in the process of going through, only have one rule. And if you're looking for a prayer or a mantra, I give you this kind of mantra. It's for the space age man. Space age mantra. It's called, I'm a winner. Losers can't be born. Losers can't be born. I'm a winner. Think of it, the sperm that got to the ovum was a loser or a winner. All the rest got down the drain. But they come back. When you are a winner, you ain't going scot-free, thinking that you left all the rest to go down the drain. They're coming back, and they're going to confront you, because they're going to be younger than you. When the old person talks to you first, that's a past life karmic debt. When a young person talks to you, that's a spermal karmic debt. Sperm 249, come in, sperm 249. And daddy shot out 1,500 or a million sperms. But then I look at my sheet, oh, 249, that's me. Get out of the way, you guys. I'm coming through. Sorry, fellas, I'm going to give you a piece of mind when I get up there. That's it. Then you come back. And any young person says, are you a Dano? I said, yes. And then we look and lock eyes. And I know deep down in that fellow's eye or that girl's eye, did you tell daddy off? Funny phenomenon. Whenever you see a young child walks right up to you, and you may think they're very abrasive, you know. No. That's spermal confrontation of an unfinished love. And an elderly person starts to talk to you first as an unfinished confrontation of a past life. So life is well laid out for you to appreciate each other. Those who are older than you and those who are younger than you, you know where you fit into the karmic relationship. The young person talks to you first. It's a spermal confrontation. And the older person talks to you first, it's a karmic confrontation. You might be the landlord, and they may come up to you and confront you by being older than you. They may be the tenant. They want to give you a piece of their mind, or vice versa. But that's what we are involved in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be at the airport at about 8 o'clock in the morning. See you down a while.
We're there first.
Yeah.
We've done a week just like this. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wonderful weekend.
Thank you all for being here.
We're looking forward to having you come back in January.
If it doesn't snow.
It doesn't snow.
It doesn't snow. That's
right.
Well, just
snowed
last
once.
Year.
Once for an hour.
For an hour.
But no, I am happy
with
you.
Well, I'll put it this way. Stop singing, I'm dreaming for a white Christmas, and start singing, I'm dreaming for a
Sunshine Christmas.
Before the Haitian.
We'll keep in contact when he comes, that you'll have a lot of knowledge.
I wanted to ask you what I can do to help send on his way.